Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Genesis 21, verses 8 to 20. That's Genesis 21, 8 to 20. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out the slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be here with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we praise you, Lord, for to be able to gather here like this as a family, to be able to worship you so freely, and most importantly, to be able to be fed by you, by your words, Lord. Father, we praise you for your protection. We praise you that every day in, day out, you're always with us constantly, as long as we always fix our eyes on you. May you be with us today as we hear more of you, and may you be with the pastor as he delivers that message to us. In your wonderful and blessed name I pray. Amen.
To many people, Abraham is considered the father of Israel. And this is true if you ask any Jewish person around here or anywhere, and even Christians, they will say that Abraham is the father of Israel. And others will say that Abraham is the father of the Arab nations, and that is also true. Actually, Abraham is the father of both people. Sarah is the mother of Israel, and Hagar is the mother of the Arab nations. In Genesis 18, verse 11, and then chapter 16, and verses 1 to 4, we read, "Abraham and Sarah were already old. He was about 85 years old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So she said to Abraham, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go and sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. But then things started going bad for all three of them. There is always this conflict when you have started a triangle in life. You have made a commitment to your wife, to your husband, and then someone else comes in. And we have a good example of that this morning. Hagar started to despise Sarai, and Sarai blamed Abraham for all this mess and held him responsible for suffering. Abraham, not knowing what to do, he said to Sarai, when I quote, "Well, she is your servant, and she is in your hand. Do with her whatever you think is best." Then Sarai started mistreating Hagar so that she fled from her. While Hagar was in the desert, an angel found her and told her, and I quote from chapter 16, "Go back to Sarai and stay with her, and you will be blessed, and your descendants will be too numerous to count." So Hagar went back, and when the time came, she bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael. Ishmael, God pays attention. Abraham was 86 years old by now. But Hagar's problems did not end here. About 15 years later, Sarai became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age of 100. Abraham named his son Isaac, or Yitzhak, which means laughter. When Sarai saw that Ishmael and Isaac were not getting along, she asked Abraham to get rid of her and her son. She simply did not want Ishmael to share in the inheritance of Isaac. And I'm giving you a lot of history to come to a few points I would like to make. And so Abraham took some food and water and gave them to Hagar and sent her off with her boy. Hagar now was a single mother in trouble. So when you see single mothers or single fathers with children, they have a heavy load to carry. They are in trouble. The marriage is in trouble, obviously. She went on her way and wandered in the desert until her water supply was finished and they could go no more. Her son, who by now was tired, running here and there to find some water, collapsed. And it seemed that it was too weak. He was too weak to continue. His mother put him under a bush to die. And she went and sat down nearby and started crying. Her son was dying and there was nothing she could do. There was nothing she could do. Every one of us, I believe, comes to a point in his or her life to say, "Well, I can't take it anymore. This burden is too heavy. I cannot look after my kids. I cannot look after my mother or father who is sick. I cannot feed my children, or I cannot even take care of myself." So the devil comes and brings a heavy-duty depression. And here you have, for good reasons, for valid reasons, Hagar being depressed. Let's look at the scene. Hagar and Ishmael are thrown out into the desert. Hagar's son is dying under a bush, and Hagar is crying and sobbing. But it seems that the boy also was doing, he's crying and praying too. You may not see that in the verses we read, but what happens next proves the point that the little boy was not only crying, but he was also praying. Hagar probably thought that no one knew or cared what was happening to them. But she was wrong. Someone knew and was following their every step, and their every tear was being noticed. Genesis 21:17 says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there." I believe not one tear is wasted when we turn to God and in tears ask Him to have mercy on each one of us. I believe God is always there. The problem is not that there is no God or we can hide from God. The problem is that we cannot hide from God. We cannot get rid of God. God is always there, no matter what is happening in our life. Whether we are going through a good time or bad time, God is always there. Yes, Hagar and Ishmael had been wronged by man. Actually, they had been wronged by man of God. And just think about it. They were wronged by a man of God. Abraham, the father of the Jews, the father of the Arab world, was a man of God, and yet he had his own problems to deal with. And this lady was wronged by him. She did whatever she was asked to do. She had seen Abraham at prayer. She had admired his courage and faith. She had also known him in his weakness. But she had always remained faithful. But now she had been rejected, wounded, and wronged by this great man of God. Have you ever been wounded by a professing Christian? And you thought no one cares what happens to you? Remember Hagar and Ishmael. God cared for them, and He cares for you and me. I believe that, at least in my life, there were times that I said, and he claims to be a Christian, and he claims to be a pastor, and we very quickly turn against someone that has wronged us. Yes, we can turn against the activity or the wrong, and yet we must realize that God sees everything. And if I feel bad for myself and what happened to me, God sees that. And He is always there to deal with the situation. Why did God ask Hagar, "What is the matter, Hagar?" You may say, "What do you mean God asks Hagar, what's the matter with you?" There was everything the matter with that. Hagar was a servant. Hagar was doing her duty. Hagar's boss, Sarai, comes and says, "Well, you know, your next duty is to sleep with my husband and have a relationship so we can have a child." She agreed, and her husband, Abraham, agreed. And she had done the best she could to satisfy the family. And for that, she was neglected and eventually thrown out. And she now finds herself in the desert. And I believe there are many mothers, and there are fathers, even fathers these days, that find themselves in a desert, in a dry land when no one cares. Everyone points a finger, and everyone judges, and everyone hurts, and everyone says things without realizing what this person is going through. I believe that Abraham felt comfortable now. The problem was gone. Sarai felt even more comfortable, because now there was no competition. And yet there was a mother and a child that were thrown out. They were starving to death. They were going to die of hunger and thirst and the heat. But God cared for this mother, and God cared for this child. His mother put him under a bush to die. Many of us, sometimes we give up and say, I'm about to die. Or my child is hopelessly lost. And they give up on their children. But Sarai forgot that God cared. Not only God knew what was happening to them, he actually cared about their tears. Abraham, Sarai, and the entire community may have rejected and wronged them, but God cared and loved them. Yes, Hagar and Ishmael had been wronged by man, but God loved them. Have you ever been in that situation? Why did God ask Hagar, what is the matter with you? He asked because he wanted to hear from her, her side of the painful situation she was in. Or was it something like this? What is the matter, Hagar? Don't you know I care? Have you forgotten what I said to you when you were running away from Sarai? Didn't I say that I will bless you and I will increase your descendants? I wonder, under the same circumstances, how would you and I do? Would you remember God and His promises or fall apart? Sometimes we look only ahead of us, what's happening right now, and yet we cannot look at the bigger picture. God has the entire picture, and God knows exactly what He is doing, and yet we don't. Hagar had started her journey with some bread and water, but now her bread was finished and her water was gone, and so she thought they were about to die. And while she was crying over the problems, her problems, bitterness was filling her heart against Sarai and Abraham. But God told her not to grieve over the problems and hold grudges or nurse her wounds. Instead, God opened her eyes to see His help and provisions. There was water within reach. And God's promise to her and her descendants were right there. God has provided for all our needs. God has provided for all our needs. And He has promised more and eternal blessings to all those who remain faithful to Him. There is water within reach for you. You don't need to go back to all things and places to find solutions to your problems. Hagar's response was positive. She right away filled the bottle, that was the skin bottle, and gave water to Ishmael. There was enough water available to sustain life for this troubled mother and son. What about today? There is plenty of living water to give eternal life to all those who will drink from it. This living water is available to us through faith in Christ, but people are dying of spiritual thirst and hunger. And when I listen to messages, when I read books, and when I speak to people, I realize that everyone is trying to find an angle. Everyone is trying to find a solution. Everyone wants to change a little bit the religion or to modify it and to update it so people will feel comfortable and good and have peace and serenity. And yet this cannot happen because they have not looked for the living water. What people can offer is maybe a glass of water to the person who is dying of thirst in a desert, and yet that person needs an oasis, a place where there is plenty of water to sustain this person mothers and fathers and families that are struggling under the load or the burden of all, whatever that may be. Could be addiction, it could be rejection, it could be a separation, it could be losing of a job, and they are desperate and desperately searching to find a religion, a group, someone to help. Someone called me the other day, right after the, it wasn't even the program, it was because someone had given them a tract. She called and she said she feels she is desperately in need of some help. And she even said, "Are you Jehovah's Witnesses? No problem. Anyone that can help me." And I just explained to this person that the only solution, the only way, the only source of life is Jesus Christ Himself. No religion, no workshops will do what God can do by coming into the life of this person. Nothing could have saved Sarai and Ishmael. No one. Nothing. Except that water. And then that water wasn't enough, of course, to sustain them forever. And yet God made it possible for them to survive. And look how blessed Ishmael became. You may agree or disagree with what happened. You may feel it was a mistake or it was not. No matter what you say or what I say, no matter what religions say, the truth of the matter is God promised Sarai that He would bless her and her descendants would be, no one would be able to count them. And that has happened and is continuing. There are those who feel rejected or lost in a dry, hostile desert, searching to find some comforts and satisfaction, but all in vain. Because they are spiritually blind, they cannot see the spring of living water which is right there within their reach. It took an angel of God to tell Haggai about the water which saved her and her son. About 2,000 years ago, God, seeing how hopelessly we were lost in the desert of life, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. He is the living water that gives eternal life. Have you drunk from this living water? And if you have, will you introduce it to others? You know what I think the problem is today in our society? The problem is that we've heard so much about God. We come to church every Sunday. The others go to church every Tuesday, every Wednesday, or whatever. They read a lot of books and they listen to a lot of tapes. And there is so much information that after a while we don't see anymore that source of life, the spring of water which is only God in our lives. Jesus is the only one that can give you life, peace, and eternal life. And yet, all we hear these days is prosperity, health, doing well, doing better, feeling better, being high, have a spiritual high. All this is fine. And yet, if God wants you to be prosperous, He will help you be, and you have to cooperate with God. If God wants you to be healthy with no illness at all, He can help you be healthy with your cooperation. But if God wants you not to be very rich, and if God wants you to suffer from an illness, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you and God doesn't care. I believe that Hagar did suffer. And I believe even later on, after she was saved from that desert, which was almost the end of her journey, did go through difficulties, and yet God's promises stayed and will continue. Will you invite others to come to the source of living water? Will you tell them of Christ and His love. You, I'm sure, know someone who is suffering. I don't know of anyone that does not know someone who is either going through a marital difficulty or loss of job or illness or something that has been keeping them down and giving them a depression and making them feel lost and alone and lonely. And yet, we really don't give a lot of attention. And I've heard even people say, oh, he or she deserved it. She made her own bed and she's lying in there now. Or he or they didn't know what. Or they have rejected my words or my advice. Yes, you may have advised your son or daughter not to do it, and he or she did it, and now she or he is in trouble, and all you do is, I told you so, and this son or daughter just leaves home because he and she is tired of you telling him or her that it's their fault. It could be your husband or your wife or the church or a pastor has hurt your feelings, or maybe where you find yourself right now is very difficult. A husband that does not understand you, a wife that does not understand you, children who have rebelled, and like Hagar, you cry to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But you don't know. Maybe your son or daughter or husband or wife also in his or her own way are crying to God and asking, and they're waiting for something to happen. So we will only get answers if we really allow God to come and manage the situation. Just remember that there are many who, like Hagar and Ishmael, are dying spiritually. And all they need is someone like you to show them the way to the living water, Jesus the Savior. It took an angel in the case of Hagar and Ishmael. Well, don't you want to be an angel of God and bring this good news that there is water there available? Don't you want to be an angel of God and say, let me pray with you and for you? Don't you want to be a messenger from God to say, I went through the same kind of a situation, or maybe I don't understand, and yet I'm with you to help you find a solution? As God saved Hagar and Ishmael to make them a great nation. Again, as I said, I'm not talking politically. I'm not talking racially. I'm talking about numbers that God promised to Hagar, and He delivered. God has promised you also to bless you if you allow Him to come in your life and bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for not only promising to help, but for helping us. Lord, you do not discriminate. To you, in your eyes, we all are equal, in need of salvation, in need of help. And only you can change our situations, our circumstances. And if you choose not to change them, Lord, you can help us deal with these circumstances. Please give us wisdom and a spirit of discernment. In your blessed name I pray, amen.